بسم الله بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Tonight, this is going to be our 47th session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mubin في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them. And with the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Alama, Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Tonight, we're going to be looking at hadith number 42. Hadith number 42 from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide from last week's session. From questionnaire study guide for lecture number 46, yani hadith number 41. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 41. Summarize the main topic of hadith. Naam, fadlu.
No one of you have complete and perfect iman
until his desires or that which he is inclined to,
which he loves, is in accordance with that what I have come with, what the Prophet came with, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with. That is the Sharia of Allah.
Type. Yani the theme or the topic or the subject of last week's hadith is, yani the necessity, the obligation of following that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, yani the sunnah, or in its entirety the sharia. Question number two, who is the rawi, the narrator of this hadith, and the name of the book from which Al-Imam Nawawi narrates this hadith? Who is the rawi and what is the name of the book that he's narrating this hadith from? Rawi. Naam.
Abu Muhammad bin Amr bin Al-Anas.
يعني أبو محمد عبد الله بن عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنهما. May Allah be pleased with both of them. What is the name of the book that Imam Nawawi narrates this hadith from? What is the name of the book?
Kitab al-Hujja.
Naam. Question number three. How is the author described? يعني the author, meaning Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Arabat, hafidhahullah, how has he described the book from which Imam Nawawi narrates this hadith? How has he described that book? Naam.
The proof of evidence against those who left or abandoned this great path.
Okay, he gave the full title of the book, that this book is a proof, Hujjah, against those who abandon the straight path. And it contains
the path of our Prophet.
He said it contains, Naam, that's so the straight path.
The foundation of the Deen, Aqidah based upon the people in Sunnah.
Naam, the qawaid, the fundamentals of the, or the usul of the deen, as it has been, yani transmitted to us based upon the principles of Ahl Hadith and Sunnah. Question number four, mention one scholar of Hadith who considered this Hadith to be da'if and two scholars who held it to be reliable. One scholar who considered this Hadith to be da'if. Naam. Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab, he declared this hadith to be da'if, and he mentioned, yani, the issues that this hadith contained due to which he declared it to be da'if. Mention two scholars who considered it to be reliable. Who considered it to be reliable. Fadl.
Imam al-Nawawi.
Okay, al-Imam al-Nawawi considered it to be da'if. He narrated the hadith, he said, bi-isnadin sahih. And also, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani also mentions in the explanation of Fath al-Bari that he considered this hadith to be reliable. Question number five, how has the author explained the meaning of negation of iman in the statement, yani none of you truly believes, yani la yu'minu ahadukum hatta, yani what does he mean by la yu'minu ahadukum, negation of iman? How has he explained the meaning of this negation of iman? What does this mean here? Does it mean that a person is not a Muslim? Naam, fadl.
Just you have to respond the condition, doesn't mean it's not Muslim or
There
is condition. You have to
feel. Okay, so there are some things that a person has to do, obligatory duties that a person has to do that are part of Iman. And therefore he's saying what? So he's saying what? Yani if a person doesn't fulfill those conditions, then what? Then what? Then his iman, yani, it's not complete and perfect. His iman, you can say weak, but the meaning here is that he's negating the perfection of iman. That a person's iman, the obligatory aspect of iman, that is not complete and perfect. Yani, not that the person's iman is negated in totality, that they are outside of Islam. Question number 6. Memorize the ayah from 33rd Surah, 36th ayat, mentioned by the author as having the same meaning as contained in this hadith. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ. Anybody memorize this ayat? Fadl.
مَا كَانَ
لِمُؤْمِنٍ.
أمرًا أن يكون له خيارة
يكون لهم الخيرة
من أمرهم.
طيب جزاك الله خير. The seventh question. And the meaning of this ayat that supports this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that which the meaning of which is I have written on it, but and in the meaning of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the meaning of which is that no one is a believer, man or woman, if when Allah, yani, that no one is a believer, it is not for the fitting, or is not befitting of the believer, man or the believing woman, when Allah and His Messenger has decided the matter, that they have any choice in the matter, that they have any opinion about the matter, rather, they have to accept what Allah and His Messenger has decreed. Question number 7, what is the primary usage of the word al-hawa, as it's used in the Qur'an? The primary usage of the word hawa, as it's used in the Qur'an. Na'am, fadl.
That which a person is inclined to, his desire, or that which he loves, that which is contrary to the truth.
Now, that a person's desire or that which they love is contrary to the truth. And it's in opposition to the truth. Now, question number 8, how does the author explain the meaning of the word al-hawa as it's used in this hadith? What is the meaning of hawa as it's used in this hadith? Talib.
Praiseworthy,
yani. He said it means, anybody else? Praise. What kind, what did he say? Praiseworthy what? Al-Mahabba. Al-Mahabba. Al-Mahmuda. Yani praiseworthy love. Yani the love that, yani, is praiseworthy because it's in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Question number 9. Mentioned the two fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. Two benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. Naam. One. Fadl. Yes.
It is obligatory to follow that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came.
Naam, that it is obligatory to follow that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. Second benefit that the Shaykh mentions. Naam, fadl. Hold it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. People of iman are of different levels.
The people of iman are of different levels. They are not all equal. And the last question, mention one fa'ida, benefit related to the above as mentioned by Al-Imam ibn Uthaymeen. One other benefit that's related to what we just mentioned. Naam, Zaki.
Shaykh Uthaymeen. Naam. That it is obligatory to surrender, to comply with, obey that which the Prophet came with.
Okay, he said something similar to what the Shaykh mentioned in the first benefit, that it's obligatory to comply with, to be in accordance with.
Yes.
Another benefit that he mentioned, in accordance with the second benefit that the Shaykh mentioned. Naam.
Iman perhaps can be negated by falling short from Sunnah.
Okay. Sheikh Uthaymeen said, related to the second point, yani the second point is tafawut al-nas min al-iman, yani that the people are not equal in iman. He said that what's related to that is that iman increases and decreases. People are not equal in iman, because iman increases and decreases, and some people's iman is higher than another. Now,
the vastness of the clarification of the vastness of Allah's mercy and his kindness that he has removed from the sins of these areas, forgiveness, not knowing, and compulsion.
Forgetfulness, not knowing, and compulsion. That is an indication of the vastness of Allah's mercy and His bounty from the hadith. From which hadith? Previous hadith. Tayyib. Labas. Tonight, inshallah, the hadith we're going to take is hadith number 42 from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi. The hadith an Anasin radiallahu anhu qal, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. Then Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, قال الله تعالى, that Allah the Most High said, يبنى آدم, O son of Adam, يعني this is addressed to every human being, يبنى آدم, إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the human beings, indeed, to whatever extent or whenever you call upon me, supplicate to me, and you have hope, yani in receiving that which you are seeking from me, then I have forgiven you. Forgiven you, yani for whatever you have come with, yani of sins or falling short in obligatory duties. Whatever a person has done, whether it's the commission of a sin or the omission of that which is obligatory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I have forgiven you for whatever you have come with, yani whatever sins you have committed or whatever shortcomings, yani you have fallen short in, wala ubali, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, and He is not concerned about it. Yani no matter how great or how many or whatever the sins that a person has committed, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is easy for him, yani to forgive, and He's not concerned about it. He doesn't mind forgiving the human being, yani if they turn to Him. Then He said, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك أنام السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك. Yani that if your sins were to reach up to the sky, yani in the amount of sins that you committed, and then you sought forgiveness from me, I will forgive you. And then He said, finally, يا ابن آدم, O son of Adam, إنك لو أتيتني بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا, that if you were to come to me with sins equal to that which would fill the earth, ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا, and then when you met me, yani on يوم القيامة, you came without having committed shirk, without having associated something as a partner or equal with me, لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً, then I will come to you, I will meet you, yani with forgiveness that will be equal to the amount of sins that you committed that would fill the earth. Rawahu at-Tirmidhi, and this hadith is collected by Imam at-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, wa qala hadith hasan, and he said that the hadith is hasan, that it's a good acceptable hadith. Tonight, as usual, we're going to read from the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Alama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, and whatever we can, as much as possible, also from the commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. So the Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, he has divided his explanation of this hadith into 6 points. The first 2 points are introductory to the hadith, and the last point are the benefits that are derived from it. So actually, he has divided his full, yani his direct explanation of the hadith into 3 points. 2 introductory points, 3 points related to the 3 sentences or 3 statements in this hadith, and the final point being the benefits that are derived from it. And along with those benefits, inshallah, we're going to try to mention some of the benefits that were mentioned also by Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah. So the first point, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, the first point that he makes as introduction to this hadith, he says, هَذَا الْحَدِيثُ هُوَ آخِرَ الْأَحَدِيثِ الَّتِي أَوْرَضَهَا النَّوِّي رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ الْأَرْبَعِينَ, and that this hadith, number 42, is the last, the final of the hadith which Al-Imam Nawawi has narrated in his book, Al-Arba'een, yani the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi. And then he says, still a part of the first point of introduction, وَقَدْ زَادَتْ عَلَى الْأَرْبَعِينَ بِحَدِيثَيْنِ فَيَكُونُ إِطْلَاقَ الْأَرْبَعِينَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ تَغْلِيبِ اللَّفْظِ وَحَذْفِ الْكَسْرِ الزَّائِدَ فِي الْعَدَدِ. Yani that Al-Imam Nawawi, he named the book 40 hadith, but actually he has narrated in this book 42 hadith. He has narrated 42 hadith, and he is using the expression 40 in the title of this book, 40 hadith, in a general sense, yani that, yani rounding it off, like rounding it off to 40 in terms of the number. And finally he says in this point, وَهُوَ مِنَ الْأَحَدِيثِ الْقُدْسِيَ الَّتِي يَرُوِيهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ رَبِّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani that this hadith is from those hadith known as hadith Qudsi. Yani those reports, those narrations which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reported from his Rabb, from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The second point, also introductory to this hadith, summarizing the hadith, the Shaykh says, Al-Khitabu fil hadith li bani Adam. Yani that Allah's speech in this hadith is addressed to the human beings, to every human being. هو مشتمل على أن من أسباب مغفرة الذنوب دعاء الله ورجاءه مغفرة الذنب الذنوب. يعني that this hadith contains three main points. The first of them is that from those causes or reasons or means of earning the forgiveness of sins is supplicating a dua, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ar-raja, having hope. Yani having hope that yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you that which you are seeking. Yani having hope that Allah is going to forgive your sins. So the first point of this hadith, he says, is that from the causes or the means or the reasons of earning forgiveness of sins is that a person supplicates to Allah, a dua. And some of the scholars said in the explanation of this hadith, the dua is of two types, dua al-mas'ala and dua al-ibadah. And we're not going to go into the discussion of that, but dua al-mas'ala means sa'ala, yani that a person asks Allah for something. They supplicate to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me. And dua al-ibadah is that a person does an act of worship, and by doing that, they hope to achieve whatever it is that they are in need of. So both of these are included in the meaning here, that the dua to Allah is that a person asks Allah for forgiveness, or ask Allah whatever it is that they are seeking, and also the meaning that a person does some acts of worship seeking Allah's help or assistance in whatever the affairs, while at the same time, along with that, having hope, ar-raja, having hope that Allah is going to forgive their sins. The second thing that this hadith contains in terms of the means or the causes, the ways in which a person can earn Allah the forgiveness of their sins is al-istighfar minha, that a person actually says, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh my Rabb, forgive me. That a person performs istighfar in whatever words, yani, that are legislated. The third thing he says, والإخلاص لله والسلامة من الشرك. That a person has ikhlas, sincerity in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have avoided committing shirk. That they are safe, they have been saved, they have avoided a shirk. That a person has ikhlas in their worship, and that they avoid الشرك. Then the Shaykh, he closes this point by explaining the meaning of forgiveness of sins. He says, معنى مغفرة الذنوب سترها عن الخلق والتجاوز عنها فلا يعاقب عليها. Yani that forgiveness of sins means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover a person, will cover their sins from the people, so that people would not know that they have committed that sin. And then Allah would look over, he would pass over, he would pardon and forgive them for that sin, and therefore they will not be punished. Yani maghfiratu dhunub includes that Allah covers the person so that people don't know that they committed the sin, and then he pardons them and forgives them for it, so they would not be punished. The third point that the Shaykh makes, and this is the first sentence of this hadith, the first of the three things that are means of earning forgiveness of one's sins. The first point that the Shaykh makes, or point number three, he says, قوله يا ابن آدم إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي. Yani that, O son of Adam, whenever or in whatever way, yani you call upon me, you supplicate to me, and you have hope of receiving, yani that which you are seeking. Whenever a person does that, then Allah says, I have forgiven him. Then I have forgiven him. Forgiven him, ala ma kana minka, yani forgiven you, ala ma kana minka, wala ubali, yani whatever you came with, whatever, yani commissions of sins or falling short in obligatory duties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mind. It's not that important to him, yani, to forgive. It's easy for him to forgive. The Shaykh says the explanation of this statement, and this is the first of the causes of forgiveness, that is, al-du'a and al-raja, that a person calls upon Allah, supplicates to Allah, and that they have hope, yani they believe, they expect, they anticipate that Allah is gonna, yani, forgive them. He said, du'a al-abd, rabbahu maghfiratu dhunubihi, yani supplicating, the supplication of the person supplicating to their Rabb for forgiveness of one's sins and hoping for that. وَرَجَعُهُ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُ دُونَ الْيَأْسِ, and that the person has hope that Allah is going to forgive them, and they are not in despair about Allah's forgiveness. Yani they believe that Allah, they have confidence that Allah is going to answer them and that Allah is going to forgive them. The Shaykh says, this, supplicating to Allah, asking for forgiveness of sins, and having hope, and expectation, and anticipation, without despair, that Allah is going to forgive, مَا أَتْتَوْبَ مِنَ الظُّنُوبِ يَحْسُلُ بِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Yani this, calling upon Allah, having hope that He's going to forgive, along with repentance. Yani this, along with repentance, from all sins, it is in this way that a person will achieve from Allah forgiveness. Here, I just want to note that the Shaykh, he says, along with a tawbah. That's very important. Because as we know, at least major sins, according to the majority of the scholars, are not forgiven without repentance. So there must be repentance. It's not just, oh Allah forgive me, and a person is using intoxicants or killing someone or engaging whatever is sinful, and they just say, oh Allah forgive me, and they didn't repent. It is of a necessity that there has to be repentance with its conditions. The Shaykh says, وَلَوْ عَظُمَتْ الذُّنُوبُ وَكَثُرَتْ وَتَقَرَّرَتْ, even if those sins were tremendous, horrible sins, even if they were plentiful, so many, even if they were repeated again and again and again, in spite of all of that, however horrible the sin may be, however many the sins are, however much a person repeated sins, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive their sins if they call upon Him and they have hope that He's going to respond to them and they repent from them. It is for this reason, yani no matter what kind of sins the person has committed, it is for this reason. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever you came with, whether they are great sins, many sins, yani repetition of sins, whatever the person came with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will forgive. And this is similar to the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Zumr, 39th Surah, 53rd Ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, O my worshippers, who have transgressed the bounds against themselves, yani by committing sins, who have transgressed the bounds in committing sins, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, don't despair, don't give up hope of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, indeed Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, indeed He is the one who is forgiving and He is merciful. And here I just want to note that this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبُ جَمِيعًا, Allah forgives all sins, without any exception. Even shirk, if a person repents from it. Even shirk, if a person has repented with sincere repentance. Allah doesn't forgive shirk if a person dies upon it, without repentance. As far as Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he says concerning this first point, the first sentence of this hadith, he says that Allah Jalla wa Ala is speaking to all human beings. in this hadith. يخاطب جميع بني آدم. He's speaking to every human being. And he's saying, O son of Adam, indeed, whenever you have called upon me and had hope in me responding to you, then I have forgiven you. Whatever you came with, I don't mind forgiving you. That means, the Shaykh says, Shaykh Sadr Fawzan says, that means that a person calls upon Allah and they believe, they expect, they anticipate, they are certain that Allah will respond. He said, this means, من أحسن الظن بالله عز وجل وتقرب إليه بالعمل فإن الله يغفر له الذنوب والسيئات لأن الله غفور رحيم على ما كان منك. يعني that whoever has a good thought about Allah, has good expectation of Allah, that if you do good, Allah will reward you. If you seek Allah's forgiveness, He will forgive you. And whoever has حسن الظن بالله, they expect good from Allah. And they seek nearness to Allah بالعمل, by doing deeds, by supplication, by acts of worship, then Allah will forgive that person their sins, major and minor. لأن الله غفور رحيم, because Allah is forgiven and Allah is merciful no matter what kind of sins you have committed. Indeed, the human being will come with things that are in opposition to what Allah has legislated, things that are in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني مخالفات ومعاسن ولكنه إذا أحسن الظن بالله وتاب إلى الله ولم يقنط من رحمة الله واستغفر يعني طلب المغفرة من الله غفر الله له جميع الذنوب. يعني the human being, with whatever they came with of sins, if they have a good thought, good expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they repent to Allah with the conditions of repentance, and they didn't يعني lose hope, they were not in despair of the mercy of Allah, and they ask Allah's forgiveness, then Allah will forgive them all of their sins. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah that we just mentioned, O my worshippers, الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم, who have transgressed the bounds in sin, don't give up hope of the mercy of Allah. Don't be in despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, Allah forgives all sins. The Shaykh says, هذا فيه حف للإنسان على أن يتوب إلى الله. This is an encouragement. And in this statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He forgives all sins, and in this ayah in the Quran, this is an encouragement for a human being to turn to Allah in repentance, no matter how great his sins might be. And he must not say, this is a sin, Allah will not forgive it. Rather, Allah the Most High forgives all sins. So he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he hastens in repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is ghani, kareem. Allah is free of need. And he is very, yani, generous. Nothing can harm him. And nothing decreases from his kingdom and his sovereignty. Yani, from that which is with him. Whatever Allah does, it doesn't take anything away from him. And it doesn't harm him in any way. So it's easy for him. Also, in this statement, it contains the idea of حسن الظن بالله, that a person expects, anticipates, believes, is certain that Allah will respond and that Allah will forgive. This is حسن الظن بالله. And also it contains تعلق القلب بالله, that a person's heart should be connected to Allah. And also that a person should not be in despair of the mercy of Allah, and that the human being should never think that any sin is too great for tawbah. Yani, it's too great for a person to repent to Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. The second point of this hadith, which Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, he mentions as point number 4. It's the second point of this hadith, the saying, يَا بْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبُكَ أَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ. O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach up to the sky, and then you sought forgiveness of me, I will forgive you. Yani, no matter how many of the sins may be, the Shaykh says, لَوْ كَثُرَتْ ذُنُوبَ الْعَبْدِ حَتَّى بَلَغَتْ أَنَالَ السَّمَاءِ. Yani, if a person's sins were so many that it reached up to the sky, in terms of how many it is, he said, Yani balaga anan as-sama' means that it reached the sky itself, or it reached to that which is just below the sky, like the clouds, or it reached that which is the furthest distance that a person could see if they were looking up. And if a person's sins were that many, and then that person sought forgiveness, is يعني ثم حصل من العبد الاستغفار مع التوبة من جميع الذنوب. يعني a person sought forgiveness along with repenting, making tawbah from all sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive those sins and Allah would pardon him and overlook them. And then the Shaykh says, At-tawbah. Yani what are the conditions of tawbah? At-tawbah takunu bil-iqla'i min wa an al-dhamb wal-nadam ala ma fata wal-azima fil-mustaqbal ala an la ya'udu ilayhi. Yani the tawbah requires that a person leave off the sin that they are committing. Stop doing it. And it requires that they have remorse, nadam, that they feel bad about that sin that they have committed, and that they make a firm resolve, al-azima, a firm resolve in the future not to go back to that sin. These are the primary essential elements of yani tawbah, that a person has to stop doing what they're doing. A person can't say, I'm making tawbah, and they still committing the sin. But they have to stop. They have to feel remorse. And they have to make firm resolve that they're going to do the best they can not to go back to that ever again. The Shaykh says, وَمَا هَذِهِ ثَلَاثَ Along with these three conditions. فَإِنْ كَانَ ذَمْ فِي حَقِّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَفِيهِ كَفَارَةٌ أَتَى بِالْكَفَارَةِ So along with these three things, if that sin was in relation to something that's from the right of Allah, and there has been legislated, yani an expiation for it, a kafara, that there's expiation that a person has to do for that particular sin, then they must also expiate for it. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي حَقٍ لِلْآدِمِينَ آدِمِينَ yani if it was from the rights of the human beings, أَدَّى حُقُوقَهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ أَوْ تَحَلَّرَهُمْ مِنْهَا yani then they must return or fulfill the rights of the human being that they violated. They must yani make up for that. Or they must ask that person to free them from liability, yani to pardon and forgive them for what they have done. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says concerning the second point, yani, O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the sky, yani in terms of, yani if they were to raise up due to how many they were, up until they reached the clouds, and then you sought forgiveness of me, then I will forgive you, and I don't mind doing so. He said this statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَهَذَا فِيهِ أَنَّ التَّوْبَ تَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهَا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ And this is an indication that tawbah, yani removes whatever was before it of sins. It removes the sins that a person committed before they made tawbah. مَحْمَا كَثُرَتْ الذُّنُوبِ وَتَعَظَمَتْ No matter how many they were, no matter how terrible they were, yani tawbah removes whatever was committed before it. فَهَذَا فِيهِ أَنَّ التَّوْبَ نعم He said وَلَوْ تَرَاكَمَتْ وَارْتَفَعَتْ إِلَى أَنَاسَمَتْ Yani even if those sins were piled upon one another and they reached up to the sky فَإِنَّهَا تَحْدِمُهَا Then tawbah removes them. That is التوبة الصحيحة المستوفية لشروطها Yani the tawbah that is correct. The tawbah that fulfills its conditions. And then the Shaykh mentions the conditions for tawbah, as we already mentioned, that is that a person has to abandon the sin that they are committing, they must make firm resolve not to go back to it, and they must feel remorse for what has occurred from them, the sin that they committed before that. And finally the Shaykh says, وَإِذَا كَانَ عَنْدَهُ مَظَالِمْ لِلْعِبَادِ يَرُدُّهَا إِلَيْهِمْ And if there was some wrong that they had did to a person, taking their property for example, they must return it. وَيَطْلُبْ مِنْهُ الْمُسَامَةَ And they must also ask that person, yani to pardon them, to forgive them for what they have done. If it involves the rights of human beings. He said this is the التَّوْبَةَ الصَّحِيحَةَ The correct tawbah. This tawbah destroys sins, whatever was committed before, even if those sins reached up to the sky in terms of the number of them. As mentioned in this particular hadith, he said, فَفِيهِ التَّرْغِيب فِي التَّوْبَةِ In this, there is the encouragement. Yani in this statement, there is an encouragement for a person to repent to Allah. وَحُسْنُ الظَّنْبِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمُبَادَرَةُ وَالْمُسَارَعَةُ إِلَى تَوْبَةُ. And that a person should have good thoughts about Allah. Yani expect good from Allah. And they must hasten and quickly perform the tawbah. The third and final statement in this hadith, Shaykh Abdul Muslim, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He says the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ibn Adam, innaka law ataytani bi qurabil ardi khataya, thumma laqitani la tushrik bi shay'a, la taytuka bi qurabiha maghfiratan. That, O son of Adam, O human being, indeed, if you were to come to me, yani having committed sins equal to that which would fill the earth, and then you met me, meaning on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and you haven't committed shirk in any way, لا تشرك بي شيئا, you haven't committed any act of shirk, yani associating anyone or anything with Allah as an equal or a partner or a sharer in that which is His exclusive rights, whether it's in worship, whether it's in His names and sifat, or whatever it might be, His rububiyya, uluhiyya, whatever, person hasn't committed any shirk whatsoever, then Allah says, then I will come to you with that which would fill the earth of forgiveness, and equal to the sins that you have committed. The Shaykh, he says here, وَالشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هُوَ الذَّمَّ الَّذِي لَا يَغْفِرُهُ اللَّهِ. Yani shirk, associating something as an equal or partner with Allah, is the sin which Allah will not forgive. The sin which Allah will not forgive. And of course he means, yani the person who dies upon it, not the person who repented from it. Every sin that is less than shirk, كُلُّ ذَمْ دُونَ الشِّرْكُ فَهُوَ تَحْتَ مَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ, then this is subject to the will of Allah. Every sin that's less than shirk, yani is subject to the will of Allah. تَحْتَ مَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ, meaning, if Allah wills, He will pardon the one who has committed that sin, and He will not punish him. If Allah wills, He will pardon him, and He will not punish him. And if He wills, He will punish him, and admit him into the fire. وَلَكِنَّهُ لَا يُخَلَّدُ فِيهَا خُلُودُ الْكُفَّارِ, but He will not remain in the fire eternally, like the eternity in the fire of the disbelievers. And if the disbelievers remain in the hellfire for eternity, they will never come out. He said, this person, if Allah wills, He can pardon them. If He wills and not punish them, or He may punish them and admit them into the hellfire, but they will not remain in it for the eternity of the disbelievers. بَلْ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَخْرُجَ مِنْهَا وَيَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ, but rather, it's a necessity that the person who dies upon Islam, that they have to come out of the hellfire and enter the paradise. And this is as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah An-Nisa, in two places, in 4th Surah, 48th Ayah and 116th Ayah, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, Allah doesn't forgive that a person commits shirk with Him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ, and He forgives anything that's less than shirk to whomever He wills. Allah doesn't forgive shirk, yani if a person dies upon it without repenting from it. And He forgives anything that's less than that, لِمَن يَشَاءُ, to whomever He wills. And that's why the scholars of the Sunnah say that anything that's less than shirk is تحت مشيئة الله. It will be subject to Allah's will. He will punish whomever He wills, and He will forgive whomever He wills. He said this statement came in في آياتين من سورة النساء, and two ayats from سورة النساء, 48th ayat and the 116th ayat. وفي هذا الحديث بيان أن الذنوب ولو بلغت في الكثرة ما بلغت فإن الله يتجاوز عنها بشرط كون العبد مخلصا عبادته لله سليما من الإشراك به. Yani that in this hadith there is the clarification that the sins, no matter how many they might be, that Allah will pardon them, Allah will pass over them, with the condition that the person must have been mukhlis, sincere, must have had ikhlas in their worship of Allah. They must have worshipped Allah alone, and they must be free from ishraq, from shirk. The third point of this hadith, yani Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, and what remains are the benefits from this hadith from Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad. Before we look at the benefits, let's look at the third point from Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. He says, Al-Jumlatu Al-Thalithatu, yani the third sentence, third statement of this hadith. وَهِيَ أَعْظَمُ وَأَعْظَمُ. And this statement is greater, far greater than the previous ones. And in the first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever calls upon me and has hope, and without despair, then I will forgive them. And in the second one, he said what? That every person, yani, who has committed sins, no matter how much they are, if they seek forgiveness from Allah, and the Shaykh explained that it means, well, along with repentance, then Allah will forgive them. In this statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ibn Adam, innaka law ataytani bi qurab al-ard khataya. That if you came to me with sins equal to that which would fill the earth, and then you came to me, la tushrik bi shay'an, and you haven't committed any act of shirk with me, la ataytuka bi qurabiha maghfiratan, then I will come to you, yani, with forgiveness equal to that which would fill the earth as well. Wal qurab ma'anahu al-mil'u. Yani that qurab, the Shaykh says the meaning of it is al-mil, yani filling something. Yani that if you came with sins that are equal to that which would fill the earth, Allah will come with forgiveness equal to that which would fill the earth. So the meaning here is, if you came, yani, with sins that would fill the earth, the Shaykh says, yani mal'a al-ard al-wasiya, yani that which would fill the vast earth in its vastness. Yani if you came with that much sins, if you had came with sins that would fill the whole of the earth, ولكنك سلمت من الشرك بالله عز وجل فإنك لا تيأس من مغفرة الله لك. No matter if you came with all of those sins, but you were free of committing shirk with Allah عز وجل, then you should not despair of the mercy of the forgiveness of Allah. You should never, yani, be hopeless or be in despair of the forgiveness of Allah for you. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, the ayah that we quoted previously, indeed Allah forgives, or indeed Allah does not forgive shirk, yani the person who dies without repenting from it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ بِي وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلَكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah forgives anything less than that to whomever He wills. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, so the sins, التي دون الشرك, which are less than shirk, هي تحت مشيئة الله, then they are subject to the will of Allah. If He wills, He will punish the person who has committed them, and then they will come out of the hellfire, and they will be admitted into the paradise. And if He wills, He will pardon them from the very beginning, before any punishment would take place, He will pardon them, and they would never enter the hellfire at all. The Shaykh says, فَدَلَّ هَذَا عَلَى خَطَرٍ. This indicates the extreme danger of shirk, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. He said, and as well, that shirk, no deed is accepted with shirk. Yani no deed will be accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the person who has committed shirk. And the one who committed shirk, he will have no hope of the forgiveness of Allah, unless he repented from it. Unless he repented from it. So whoever died upon shirk, then Allah will not forgive him. Whoever died upon shirk, then Allah will not forgive him. And whoever died upon tawheed, even if that person was a sinner, even if they were corrupt, even if they committed major sins that are less than shirk, as long as it's less than shirk, he said, then Allah will forgive them. Also in this, yani, it contains the meaning or the indication of the vastness of the mercy of Allah and His pardoning. The vastness of Allah's mercy and His pardoning. And that He, or that it, yani the pardon and the forgiveness of Allah, will only be for the Ahlul Iman and Ahlul Tawheed. And that Allah's forgiveness and His pardoning is only for the people of Iman and the people of At-Tawheed. And the statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring, yani to that person, yani who has committed sins to fill the earth, but they didn't commit shirk, and Allah will bring forgiveness equal to that. He said, this means that it will be, Allah will come with forgiveness that will fill the earth in the same way that that person's sins fill the earth. وَمَغْفِرُتُ اللَّهِ أَوْسَى. And the forgiveness of Allah is more vast, yani than any sins that a person can commit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Al-Najm, 32nd ayah, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. That Allah is vast in His forgiveness. So no one should ever imagine that there is any sin that's too great, yani for Allah's pardoning and forgiveness. What remains are the benefits from this hadith. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he mentions 5. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, in the end of his explanation, mentions a number of benefits. Some of them he mentioned during his explanation and some of them he didn't. So, and he will try to look at least those benefits that he mentions at the end. The first benefit mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, number 1. Sa'atu fadli Allah Azza wa Jalla wa maghfirat dhunub ibadihi. Yani the vastness of Allah's fadl, Allah's bounty, His favor, and also the vastness of Allah's forgiveness of the sins of His worshippers. Number 2. من أسباب مغفرة الذنوب دعاء الله ورجاؤه من غير يأس. يعني from the causes or the means of earning the forgiveness of sins is that a person makes dua, that they supplicate to Allah, and then that they have hope and they have no despair. يعني they have full hope, certainty of Allah's responding and Allah's forgiveness and His mercy. The third one, he said, فضل الاستغفار مع التوبة وأن الله يغفر لِلْمُسْتَغْفِرْ ذُنُوبَهُ وَلَوْ بَلَغَتْ فِي الْكَفْرَةْ مَا بَلَغَتْ. Yani the excellence, the virtue, the superiority of seeking forgiveness along with a tawbah. And that Allah forgives the person who seeks forgiveness of his sins, even if those sins were so many, whatever, however many they may have been. The fourth point he says, إِنَّ الشِّرْكْ لِلَّهِ هُوَ الذَّنْبَ الَّذِي لَا يُغْفَرْ وَأَنَّ مَا سِوَاهُ تَحْتَ مَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ. That shirk is the sin which Allah, yani which is not forgiven, yani it is not forgiven, yani as long as the person didn't repent from it, and that whatever is other than shirk is subject to the will of Allah. And finally, he says, the fadl al-ikhlas wa anna Allah yukaffiru bihi adh-dhunub, yani the excellence, the virtue of ikhlas, of sincerity, of worshipping Allah alone and not associating anything with Him, and due to it, Allah expiates or forgives a person's sins. As far as the benefits that Sheikh Saleh Fawzan mentions in the end of his explanation, he says, فَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ عَظِيمٌ. This is a magnificent, tremendous hadith. فِيهِ هَذِهِ الْجُمَلَ الثَّلَاثَةَ الَّتِي فِيهَا الْبِشَارَةَ لِأَهْلِ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَهْلِ التَّوْهِيدِ. Yani this hadith in its three statements, contain al-bishara, yani the good news for the people of Iman and the people of Tawheed. وَفِيهِ al-invar li ahli shirk wal-kufr billahi azza wa jal. And this hadith also contains a stern warning for the people of shirk and kufr, the people who have worshipped something along with Allah, the people who disbelieved in Allah. This hadith contains a stern warning for them, yani that Allah will never forgive the sins of a person who dies upon shirk, and they would never come out of the hellfire. It also contains al-haf, hafthuhum ala al-musara'a lit-tawbah min al-kufr wal-shirk qabla al-mawt. And it also contains an encouragement to the people of kufr and shirk, encouragement to them to hasten in repenting from that kufr or from that shirk before death overcomes them. The Shaykh says, so whoever died and he is a mushrik, he has no hope. There is no hope for him of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever dies upon Tawheed, then he, that one who died upon Tawheed, even if he has whatever sins and acts of disobedience and contradiction to what Allah has legislated, no matter however many they may be filling the earth, the person who dies upon Tawheed, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive him due to his tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being innocent of shirk, being free from shirk. وَهَذَا فِيهِ فَضْلُ التَّوْهِيدِ وَمَا يُكَفِّرُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. Also this hadith contains an indication of the excellence and the superiority of tawheed and all that it would yani expiate for of sins, how it will remove sins. وَفِيهِ خَطَرُ الشِّرْكِ. And it also contains the great danger of committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِيهِ الْحَفْ عَلَى الْمُبَادَرَةِ بِالتَّوْبَةِ. And also in it is the encouragement that a person should hasten, should quickly, yani repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِيهِ سَعَةُ مَغْفِرَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَأَنَّهَا تَسَعُ الذُّنُوبِ جَمِيعًا. And also in this is an indication of the vastness of the forgiveness of Allah, and that it yani encompasses all sins. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Az-Zumar, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبِ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, He is the forgiving, the merciful. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the Shaykh closes with this, and he says, yani this is the end of his explanation of yani this book, the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi, at the time of Fajr on the Monday, 21st, 11th month, year 1427. And this is the end of the Shaykh's explanation of the 40 hadith. But of course, since we are doing the 50 hadith, we're going to also continue with the 8 hadith of Al-Imam Ibn Rajab in the coming weeks. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If anybody has any questions or any corrections, if there's any corrections, we'll take that now. If there's any questions, we'll take it inshallah after the salat. If there's any questions, we'll take them after the salat. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khairan.